Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gavaza, and for today, we're going to get into the world of the economy, but more importantly, how the economy shapes our everyday lives. We often hear of all of these different announcements that either come from National Treasury, the Central Bank, all of this, but how does it affect you and I on the ground? Most recently, we had the midterm budget policy statement that came through from the Minister of Finance, that is Enoch Godongwana, and it's a midpoint in their financial year, just giving us a sense of what's going on in the economy, making certain declarations. But for today, we're going to be just trying to understand what does it mean for the ordinary person on the ground in South Africa. To help us to navigate these economic waters, we are joined by Bertie Nell. He is the head of financial planning and advice over at Momentum. Bertie, greetings to you today.
Yeah, good day, Mudiwa. Thanks again for the opportunity, and to your viewers and listeners, it's always a privilege to be of, if I can be of assistance or be of guidance, it's always a privilege to be engaged.
Now, it's certainly, we certainly hope that there's a lot to, bring out when it's coming from this. But maybe a good jumping off point here, you heard me saying that what a big part of today's discussion is taking, some of these big macroeconomic issues or big macroeconomic announcements or announcements that will come out from National Treasury and try to apply it to, our normal everyday life. Keen to understand, because you are a professional in the space of financial planning, is there a difference in the way that, Bertie the consumer and Bertie the financial planner sit and listen to a midterm budget policy statement?
Yeah, first of all, I just need to qualify. I'm not a qualified economist. I might be a professional, but definitely not an economist. I always got this joke with economists. On the one hand, this might happen, but on the other hand, that might happen. So economist handicapped might not always have the same story. But I think to your question, whether you're a financial planner, whether you're a professional, your daily life also impacts you on your personal life. So it is It's impacting. But whether some of those terminology might be more comfortable for a financial planner with fiscal policy and interest rates and all those, for the average Joe soap in the street, it might be a very complicated matter, because you tend to have contrary perceptions of what's happening. So you see interest rates going up, and on the other side something happens, or something that you got control over and you can deal with. But I think it's not necessarily a different, because I am a consumer as everybody in the street, whether you, doesn't matter your role. But in saying that, you also got a responsibility as a financial planner. And as such, I'm not practicing, I'm guiding policy within Momentum on those. So we're quite involved with financial planners and trying to get better client outcomes and assisting those financial advisors to guide them in their relationships with clients. And in saying that, it's like you can be a good marathon runner on your own, or you can decide to enroll with a professional coach, or even a coach for that matter, to get you the necessary discipline. And I think that's the same link we want to get to. Get somebody that you can trust, get somebody that you can train with through the stages of your life, and build a lasting relationship with a financial advisor that you can trust. It's like building a relationship with a medical professional or any of those and similar. And we see a lot better outcomes where you aligned with such an individual rather than trying to fulfill on this on your own and try to make sense of the complexity of finances.
No, definitely. And the reason why I asked, the question in that way as a jumping off point is because we often talk about the fact that the the finance minister going into either the main budget speech at the start of the year or the midterm budget speech, you know, at this time of the year, has a balancing act that they're trying to, you know, sort of do. You know, you're sort of walking this tightrope of what the fiscus's needs are versus what the consumer's needs are. And sort of intellectually and on a professional level, you'll be understanding to say, well, this is where the country is. This is where the deficits are. These are the resources. But as a consumer, you're still under a lot of pressure, right? So it's to just get a sense, you know, when you are going through that particular, you know, statement, do you think now that the dust has settled that National Treasury was able to walk that tightrope appropriately in the way that they delivered themselves?
Yeah, I think overall, it's like challenges. Getting back to my with marathons, you're at the halfway stage now. So you've done 21 kilometers now, and there's another 21 lying ahead. And you never know when you're going to start cramping or whatever. So you might feel in certain instances I'm in control. I think it is a challenging time with rising debt levels of government or whatever. It's going to put some pressures on us from a broader perspective. However, there are also some good news within that environment with inflation rates, where we had significant high interest rates for a large portion of a couple of years now, and which put a lot of consumers under immense pressures on meeting this. I mean, we reached record levels on disposable income or money available that households are paying towards debt and left less to spend on essentials. I think some of these of lowering interest rates might assist in that matter, that people can have more money available to have to spend on essential stuff. I mean, the inflationary times we just heard Eskom potentially put forward immense increases. I was actually concerned over the next 2-3 years that 80% increases potentially in electricity bills, which is just putting an immense burden on individuals to keep afloat. So we've always going to have those, and it's a challenge of government to actually meet with those. Despite I'm quite positive on what's happening in the country from a national perspective, the optimism is a bit higher than it used to be, say 2-4 years back from an economic perspective. But it doesn't mean that we're not going to get those other challenges like schooling, housing, funding for security, etc. So I think the minister's got some challenges ahead, and also what he can spend on those after paying foreign debt or whatever money on commitments. So yeah, I think it is important, but in general, I think it's like a normal budget, and it is a halfway, so you need to keep optimism in the budget as well. Normally, the beginning of the year is all the changes where you actually got impact with interest with possible tax rates or increases in sin taxes or all those is normally happening at the beginning of the year. And this is more of guidance. Are we on track or are we not on track? But it is, I would say, as long as we try to spend on the right things. It is concerned for people having children at school. Is it going to be what's going to happen with the burden on educational? What's happening with all the other means? And I think that's important for a minister to actually keep track of those, because you can easily close down an economy or make it much more difficult. But I think there are some positive signs, and that's my economist view. As I said, I'm not an economist. I'm more of a legal background, but I think that's in the context that we need to live, and we need to keep afloat with those type of challenges.
So let's bring it down to the household level then, Bertie. You know, taking everything that you've just said, you know, the balancing act, you know, all of the things that are sort of pushing and pulling when the minister makes a speech. You to use your analogy earlier on about the marathon runner, you did say that, you know, at the halfway point, you've got another 21 Ks to go. You're not sure. You're kind of feeling in control. and you're not but we're also not sure if at some point you might end up cramping up or something like that. At this halfway point, we're in a situation where at least, you know, the economic indicators tell us that inflation, you know, has sort of been wrestled in, sort of sitting at that 4.5% rate, you know, which is the midpoint of where the Reserve Bank would want, you know, its target to be. But you also then started talking about all of these other factors that could potentially have people cramping up financially, at least, such as your electricity, etc. How do you think households or people should be thinking around, you know, inflation? We hear that it's under control, but is it really?
Yeah, I think in every household, you need to have somebody that can actually control that environment. So you need to sit down and have the necessary discipline, whether you've got somebody from the outside assisting you in that, or whether you've got yourself that discipline to manage your financial affairs. I think we're also entering a time of the end of the year. Holidays are lying ahead of us, people spending on holidays, people spending on Christmas gifts. And it's trying to keep those within certain limits, not to overspend on those, because I think it's important, whether you've got 13th check, to actually make provision for those, because it's not to say that it's not going to get worse or whatever. So hopefully it's not going to get worse, but there's also some people that need to take care of where they had to go into debt levels never seen before, because just to keep afloat. So trying to maintain and get those debt levels under control so that they can manage their disposable income rather than wasting it and coming back in January to worry about what's happening behind for the next of the year, because we see that. And I think that's the key message for me is there's discipline needed in spending your money and being in control. Whether you can control the economy of the country is impossible. You can't do that. But you can control your own environment in making sure that you spend in terms of or in line with your expectations. I mean, the rise of cost of living is going to happen. Everything is going to get more expensive. We just see we're on the brink of, we saw a couple of decreases in the petrol price, but we just see another one, a small one upwards. So you can't control those, and you need to make sure that if you were out of control with your discipline on spending of money, and you've got the opportunity with lowering interest rates now, and you've got some more, even if it's 50 Rand in your pocket, how do you carefully spend with that, and how do you make provision? And it's not only a short-term thing, it's also looking at the longer term, depending on your a stage of your life. Sometimes you're closer to retirement, it's got a bigger burden, but I don't want to go in. That's a different topic or a different point that we can deal with.
No, definitely. And like you said, you know, people have a lot of things that they'll be looking at. And once again, it feels like, you know, the theme of today's conversation is going to be balance, right? Because like you said, on the one side, you might have electricity that potentially could rise by a huge amount. And then now you might start having your fuel bill coming down just a little bit compared to where it was. But at the end of the day, where does your personal household inflation rate, you know, actually land based on what your particular family, your household, or you as an individual are actually consuming? Food, groceries, all of this stuff, you know, that is happening. The other piece,
if I may just come in here, I think it's an important thing that you just mentioned. I think sometimes we're listening too wide. We're listening to what our neighbor is doing on the one side, and we assume that is applicable to my situation. I always speak about briefly stories. You sit standing around the fire and you're having these discussions, and because you've got that, I need to have it, and it's not necessarily fitting your own circumstances. So I think when you're planning your financial affairs, it's a very personal experience. You need to look after your own thing, because my budget from a fuel spending might be totally different from yours, or my electricity bill might be totally different from yours. So I think it's important to apply those principles to your unique circumstances.
And that's a very good point on that end. It reminds me of the fact that, you know, whenever I talk to people in the world of financial planning, they always talk about budgets and the fact that, you know, you have to be strict and disciplined, you know, around these things. But when it comes to consumer pressure, you know, this one has been a little bit of a tough one for me to wrap my head around, at least in the last month and a month or 2 months, because up until, let's call it September, the biggest things that the big stories around consumer pressure were high inflation and high interest rates. But now interest rates have started to turn. But at the same time, in South Africa, we've got something like your two-pot system. People have started taking out withdrawals. And I remember as Business Day, we actually reported on just how much people have actually gone and withdrawn. And it's, you know, I think we can conservatively say that it's more than was expected. And we might, you know, see some of that momentum, you know, going forward. You know, what's your take, you know, around that, I guess, the two-pot discussion and, you know, some of the considerations, you know, on that personal or household level when it comes to this extra disposable income that has entered into the market?
Yeah, I don't want to go into the technicalities of the access, but I just say with the changes in accessing your retirement funding and certain limits, it shows an opportunity for the bulk of the, let's call it the uninformed, to say we've got a run on the bank. We've got the opportunity to access certain funding. And the concerning part for me is, yeah, it's good to have it if you want to use it to actually to relieve some stress in your personal budget. However, the other concern is that people are accessing those money and spending it on luxuries, if I can call it that. So for me, it is an opportunity, but I also think you should have done your homework quite a bit better before running for those. Because if the media or anybody in the broader environment implicates that you can actually have your access to your money, people tend to run to those and say, listen, even if I can get 2,000 Rand or 5,000, it's ridiculous what some of these amounts ended up with, because it's a percentage of what you've got in your fund. And then you had to, and nobody realizes on the tax benefit or the tax implications of those withdrawals. So you access that and then you end up disappointed because I'm only getting X amount after tax, after. But still you access that. So, but it also has got an impact on the overall value of your retirement fund. Of course, everybody's retirement funds look different. You might have a small individual starting with accumulating assets, and you might have a guy sitting at 65 close to retirement, which accumulated hopefully a lot of assets over time within his retirement fund. But it created a mechanism where you can access those monies. If it was there for the benefit of trying to alleviate some pressure on other issues, I think it might be. But I think also the long run, we will just see whether this is impact. Because if everybody starts running every year to access that money, it's going to have a long-term effect on the potential of people being able to retire appropriately, because I think we all got the stats in now, which is quoted every day, that only 6% of South Africans can retire or can independently at age of retirement. But if we got leakages on these retirement funds without having a proper financial advice on those and showing clients what the impact of that little withdrawal now might make on 30 years in the future, I think it's the responsibility of partnering with somebody to just show you the impact, and then everybody can take a decision. But if you inform and make an informed decision, and what the impact in the long run might have on your goals.
Yeah, no, it's a very interesting situation to be in. I think on my side, you know, without going too far, like you said, into you know, the different mechanisms out there, it's prudent to let your money remain, you know, so that it can keep accumulating. We often hear about, you know, compound interest and, you know, how magical that can be from the likes of Warren Buffett. But I guess at the same time, you do understand that, you know, a lot of consumers are under pressure. And, you know, someone might see this as a way to relieve, you know, some of the pressure that they might be facing. Some of the pressure that they might be facing from a budgetary point of view. And in economics, we often talk about opportunity cost, and that's literally it, right? Do you access your money today, or do you access your money later on? It's a very tough place to be in. But maybe that's just a good place for us to maybe take a pause for a moment. We've been talking about this midterm speech, and we've spoken about a bunch of things, such as inflation, the fact that a lot of people have gone on to access, you know, this funding. Just as a pulse check from yourself, in terms of you are engaging probably on a day-to-day basis with ordinary South Africans. How is the mood financially? We hear that people are under financial pressure, but from what you can gauge, like the hyperbole versus reality, you know, what's how are South Africans actually feeling right now?
Yeah, I think it is a bit of a mixed state at the moment. We just had a discussion this morning where we see some pockets that are especially spending, and if you're talking about insurance or short-term insurance or whatever, I think a while back you see a lot of cancellations of policies because people couldn't afford it anymore, whether it's your short-term cover or whether it's your life policy. And that's normally the, and I won't advise it because that's, again, the broader picture of looking at it holistically. But people tend to say, listen, I'm paying R1,000 on my car insurance at the moment. Do I really need it? I need it more to pay for a cell phone, for instance. And then you need to measure those two type of benefits that you want to. If you want to pay that R1,000 towards your kids' school education, it might be a different story because that's the only resource that you've got available. So you need to prioritize this belongings. And sometimes I think so in answering your question, I think there's still a mixed feeling. People are positive. People are feeling more positive towards the future of having a decrease in interest rates, having some more disposable money hopefully available, but it's still not filtered into the pockets of people anymore. They're still sitting with the burden of their legacy of higher interest rates, higher payments, higher inflation, and that's only going to come through in the next say let's 3, 4, 6 months going forward, and that's the balancing act. Coming back to your earlier example, I just want to link to, I've got a colleague in Momentum that's actually talking a lot of this leakages of calling it behavioral taxes. So you, so what you say, so it's your behavior that's actually costing your own long-term thing. So behavioral tax might imply it's not the formal tax applied by the government of this, but it's your own behavior and I won't say irresponsible, but unthought through processes that you're actually putting yourself under pressure by taking money or spending it in the wrong way. I tend to say that I think there's more optimism, but I think people are still under immense financial pressure. I mean, 60% plus debt to disposable income is significant high levels. I mean, it's historical highs. And it doesn't imply that you save X amount or having a 50 bps or 50 basis points reduction or 25 basis points reduction in interest rates is not gonna ease that pressure overnight. I think it's as we go up in this pressure, people will say, okay, 25 basis points up, 25, and that's how it increased over the last 3 or 4 years. It's not gonna come down overnight. We might have a good one with the current inflation rate sitting where it's sitting, that we might have 50 basis points coming down in the next one. But you never know, and it's not going to come down 4% at once. So I think that's thing. So over the next, I think, 2-3 years, people need to still apply discipline in managing their own financial affairs.
All right. And it is, it, and I think where we can, as we start rounding up, a couple of things do come to mind because, like you said, the South African consumer is still under immense pressure, but there are those, you know, that are faring a little bit better. To your earlier point where you said it's a little bit of a mixed bag, you know, sometimes when we see what's there. The other one, when thinking about that budget speech, is there anything that we can say around taxes? Because we all pay them, and it's a big piece of how government is getting revenue. Anything to be said on that front from the budget speech and how households should be thinking about and looking at it?
Yeah, I think there was more speculation with the beginning of the year budget speech on pressure potentially on VAT increases, which didn't happen. I think in this midterm budget policy, there was nothing mentioned about any potential rise in taxes, potentially either income tax, VAT taxes, etc. However, you never know. I just think we are already at very high levels of taxation in South Africa. So just to increase that even further, I think there's a more positive story from SARS's side to have effective collection of taxes and making and broaden the base and making sure that I see there's a couple of measures that came in through the last couple of months, making it more efficient for SARS to collect taxes, exposing certain unlike type of transactions and trying to get to people where, and I think if we can broaden that tax base, but there's also a thing of a responsibility on treasury. If you're collecting taxes, as long as a taxpayer, I'm one of those, I won't mind paying tax as long as I can see that tax ends up making a difference somewhere. I see that tax is going somewhere where it's going down a black hole and I don't see the benefit of my tax paying, then you get a bit of a resistance towards paying your tax and people start looking for loopholes and trying to hide their income or whatever. But I think that's to the benefit of all South Africans to broaden that tax base and making sure that we get the service we want to have and infrastructure, maintenance, etc. We can carry on with the story. And again, I might be an optimist, but I think current in this environment, you see a lot of positive things in people realizing what's happening. I think it's concerning on what's happening on the waterfront, what's happening on the electricity front, but there are steps in place. You can see stuff happening, trying to manage those more with the necessary discipline.
Yeah, no, you're very right to say that when it comes to being a taxpayer, you're more likely to be comfortable continuing to pay tax when you can see that your tax rands are going somewhere. But the point around expanding that tax base is probably the most crucial point around that. A lot of people often talk about we must get companies to pay more tax and all of that stuff. But when you look at the breakdown of tax collections, you realize that actually, overwhelmingly, personal income tax is the biggest, point of tax collection, in South Africa. So moving the needle on that specific metric is what's likely going to, move the needle the most when it comes to collections and putting, more funds, into the fiscus. Where I want us to end off the discussion, Bertie, for today is around your particular industry. Whenever I talk to, financial planners, like I said, you always hear about the budgeting. But the other thing, I'm almost guaranteed whenever I talk to someone in financial planning, they're always going to say, make sure you go and get professional advice, right? What I wanted to check right now in the environment that we're in, does consumer pressure lend itself to encouraging people to go out and look for financial advice? Or do we come back to that to the example you were giving to us earlier on about insurance and that type of thing, where people, you know, think to themselves, oh, no, actually, I can do without this type of thing in my life. And, you know, how do you see those types of dynamics playing out?
Yeah, I think there are two components to that question of yours. First is the need for certain benefits or certain solutions. And then who's assisting you in accessing those solutions? I think we see a lot of demand, and it used to be, especially in younger people, saying, I don't need a financial advisor. I'm not going to pay the commission. I'm not going to pay this fees. I can do it myself. And then in some instances, it might be smooth sailing. The markets might just be running. It's just happening for you. And then one day you wake up and the market adjusted and you lost X amount of your money. And then you need to say, listen, somebody had the discipline to keep me on track. I think, and then people will run at the advisors. The other side of it, and it is our client base, financial advisors. We're proud in saying that the bulk of our business at Momentum is coming from financial advisors. And in saying that, I think there's a responsibility on every financial advisor, but also a client, to align yourself with somebody that you can trust, that you can walk the road, not to change your relationships on a frequent basis. There are, as we say, there are unethical doctors out there. There's unethical, and we all bought perhaps a secondhand car at one point in time where we didn't know what's happening with the engine. But I think it's building that relationship, and there's a lot of trustworthy advisors out there with which you can partner, and just making sure that your personality and your discipline, and that you're comfortable with that individual. It's like choosing your medical doctor for a disease, and it's actually a company on those. So I think the importance of financial planning is more so where people, I can say 2, 3, 4 years back, robo advice was at the order. Yeah, computers are going to tell us how to invest. And now we see that it is a joint planning exercise. You need still a heartbeat to that relationship. You can't only work with a TV screen or with some. You need to have that balance. And I think that's important to align yourself and do your homework. References is a good thing to happen. If you haven't got a vested relationship, look at the credentials, look at the experience, look at the some referrals to clients, and make sure that you're partnering. Because as I said, it's like a coach. It's like Rassie Erasmus. If you haven't had Rassie with the box where we are, no, I don't think so, because Rassie was just that person. And it took us a while. And we can use that for all sports disciplines. Sorry, I'm a sports fanatic, so that's why I'm using sports analogies all over. But it's getting that Rassie Erasmus in your financial advisor phase to help you to win the next World Cup, because we all got World Cups and levels of where we want to achieve, whether we want to start with a family, whether we're in our mid-ages, or whether we want to retire, or whether we want to make sure that upon death, people are looked after, our dependents are. You need those holistic financial advice, and not only one component of financial advice. People tend to say, listen, my investments is in matter, but I don't need risk cover for that matter. But then you need to make sure, because events happen, life happens, people pass away, and then you're sitting with people earning income, not being there, looking after families. What are you doing? Whether it's a minute amount, it's better than having nothing. The same with savings. You can go into that debate. How disciplined are we as South Africans to save? We see it at the overall in the world, we might be at the lowest levels in the world from a savings perspective, despite various initiatives. So you can never save enough, whether it's for your retirement or whether it's saving for your kids' education or whether it's making provision. I think it's just having somebody around you that can partner with you.
All right. So on that point, that's where we end off today's discussion. It has been a really great one, just understanding what's going on in the economy. More importantly, taking some of the big things, big ideas, the big macro ideas that came out of the midterm budget policy statement, and, you know, trying to decipher, you know, how those things are relevant to us on an ordinary day-to-day basis. Bertie just giving us some insight insight into some of the things that people should probably have been looking out for, or how some of these macro ideas are affecting us. One of the big ones, for example, is around inflation. As much as we can hear that inflation has been wrestled in and is sitting at 4.5%, there are a lot of different factors that are pushing and pulling, you know, when it comes to what we are spending, you know, our money on, you know, on our household and personal level. To use the examples from earlier on, there's a potential that electricity prices might shoot up. You know, some people estimate that it's going to shoot up over 30%, you know, in the coming period, right? That could be a big, you know, piece of, you know, what someone is paying in terms of electricity that goes up. But at the same time, some of the other things on your costs might actually come down. Fuel tends to fluctuate at the moment. It has been going down, but for all we know, we might find ourselves in a place where it starts going up again. So very difficult, you know, to actually sit down and say where inflation actually is. But it's to sit down, have budgets, make sure that you are just noting what's happening, and you try to control expenses from that point of view. Also talking quite a bit about, you know, the pressure on consumers and how we are seeing all of that manifesting itself, whether it's people drawing down from their retirement funds because of two-pot, whether it's people choosing what they're going to decide to spend money on, not spend money on, the example of insurance or no insurance, all of these things that are meant to be safeguards, but people making really tough decisions because they feel like they're under pressure, and then also getting into, you know, some of the implications of, you know, do you spend money today or wait for it to grow tomorrow? There's huge opportunity costs that come from there. And then ending off talking about, you know, the fact that for many, getting financial advice is, you know, seen by some as being a grudge purchase. But I think to use the analogy that Bertie gave to us, everyone needs a Rossi Erasmus in their financial life. So that's where we end off. It has been a really great one. Thank you so much. We were in discussion with Bertie Nell. He is the head of financial planning and advice over at Momentum. Bertie, thank you so much for being with us today.
Modibo, if I may, I initially said 800% in electricity, right? I don't know whether I said 800, I meant 80% when you said the 30 now. Because I think over 2027, it might result in close to a doubling up of electricity bills. Not fortunately, not 800%. Sorry, that was I don't know, but I can't recall exactly whether I said 800 or 80, but I meant 80.
All right, so there we have it. Bertie, thank you so much, man. I really appreciate this.
Thank you so much, Modibo, for the opportunity, and Business Day for having us.
And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.